You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
In the United States, there have been calls to establish a Canadian-style health system. Americans spend much more money on health care than Canadians, yet the quality of care in the United States is arguably lower, and the number of those excluded from coverage certainly is higher. In spite of this, there are elements in Canada that would like to see the reverse. They would like to see an Americanization of the Canadian system. This would mean private health insurance, user fees, and private clinics. And if current trends are any indication, they may get their wish. Privatization has been creeping into the Canadian system. Colleen Fuller is an independent health researcher for the Parkland Institute. She's also the author of Caring for Profit, How Corporations Are Taking Over Canada's Healthcare System. And she's joined me in the studio to discuss the state of Canadian healthcare. Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
What kind of growth have we seen in for-profit care across British Columbia?
Well, we have to look at this question from, there's sort of two tracks that are happening in BC. One is private delivery, one is private financing or private pay healthcare. And so there's been real growth in both of those areas, but in different ways. So there are a lot of private providers and corporate providers who get public money. So, for example, you see Cambie Clinic, False Creek, all these private surgical facilities, which we call clinics but actually should be called hospitals. These are private hospitals. There's been a real growth over the last 10 years in these types of providers. Companies that are providing rehab services like physiotherapy, occupational therapy, etc. There's been a real increase and consolidation of these types of providers. So these are corporate providers. The other area where there's been an increase is in the types of services that we pay for privately. And so there's more money being spent privately than there used to be. And these are people who are paying out of pocket to obtain these services from private facilities, surgical facilities, rehab facilities, and an increase in the what the insurance industry would call their products that they are offering, private rehab, physiotherapy, etc.
Now, the Healthcare Coalition released a study recently that showed a number of the clinics are in violation of the Health Care Act. Mm-hmm. What are these violations?
Well, in the mid-1990s, the federal health minister, Diane Marlowe, told provinces that they could not allow private surgical facilities to charge what were called facility fees, right? So these were, and this is not just like a couple of hundred, this is thousands of dollars, right, that these types of facilities were charging patients to provide services to them more quickly. So this was like a queue jumping fee. So this ruling came down in 1995 that this was illegal. But whether it's illegal or not is now being challenged by these surgical facilities led by Brian Day, who's a well-known orthopedic surgeon, these clinics are saying that this is constitutionally invalid, that you cannot disallow people to pay if they want to pay for surgery. And if they want it more quickly, they should be allowed to pay a fee to allow that to happen. So that's, you know, one of the big things that's going on now around the Canada Health Act. This court challenge that is winding its way through the courts now and will end up in the federal Supreme Court, there's no doubt about it, is basically saying that Medicare is constitutionally invalid, that under the Constitution of Canada, we cannot have universal health care on equitable terms and conditions. And so this is what's going on right now.
Well, let's follow that case a bit. Who is defending the health care system in that trial?
Well, ironically, at the moment, it's Kevin Falcon, who is the health minister. And what happened was the there were a number of private surgical facilities who launched a court case saying that they should have the right to charge patients money, or patients should have the right to pay out of their own pocket or through their private insurance for the services that they offer. So they challenged that in the court. This happened in Quebec, known as the Chaouli case, a number of years ago, and Chaouli won. So, but only for Quebec. So now Brian Day wants to, and his some of his colleagues want that situation to be established in British Columbia as well. So he launched this case. At the same time, the Medical Services Commission launched a counterclaim against these clinics, and I think specifically it was Canby Clinic, saying that they had illegally charged patients thousands and thousands of dollars, and they had affidavits from all these patients saying that they had been charged. They wanted the Medical Services Commission to reimburse them for these thousands of dollars and so forth. So it was just a mess. The Supreme Court of BC a short while ago said that that the province does have the right to audit these clinics, and but they have to go through the proper process to in order to launch an audit. So that's where things are right now. But I think what's important to focus in on here is that if the people of BC lose this case, it will then become it will become constitutionally illegal to have a Medicare program. That is what we have to get our heads around here. This is a very, very important court case, and it won't be decided at the provincial level. It will be decided at the Supreme Court level. But people have to make sure that our health minister, that our attorney general in BC, is doing everything that they can to vigorously defend Medicare. And I mean, some of us, and I'm one of them, are concerned that there isn't the commitment of the provincial government, which has been one of the leading governments in BC in privatizing our healthcare system. And so we are relying on them to defend Medicare. So this is a problem. This is a of concern, you know, to anybody. But I mean, provinces will defend their own laws. That's why they will do this. It's just a question of how vigorously they will defend the current Medicare laws.
You mentioned earlier that certain practices were considered to be violations of the Act. So what's the obstacle to actually stopping those violations, if they exist, if the Act exists, and under the present legislation, why aren't they discontinued?
Well, I think, well, this is a good question. I mean, but you rely on governments to enforce the law, and they do enforce the law. They enforce the marijuana laws, they enforce this law, they enforce that law, but they're not enforcing the laws that protect our access to health care. That's the problem. And, you know, you can say the governments are screwed up, and they are. There's no doubt about that. Federally, the Harper government, you can't depend on that government to uphold and defend Medicare and national standards and so forth and so on. We've got this crew in Victoria who are ideologically committed to privatizing as much as they possibly can in healthcare and everywhere else. So this is a problem. It is really up to the people of this province and you know, across Canada to step up to the plate. And this is the age-old question, isn't it? Why is it that people are not out on the street defending Medicare? I don't know what the answer is to it, but there has to be some way for us to, as a people, to organize and, you know, get to defend what is important to us.
Now, another aspect of the privatization is the impact on healthcare professionals themselves. Mm-hmm. What the growth of these clinics and hospitals, as you called them, more accurately, what's that doing to the pool of healthcare professionals in BC?
Well, I think that probably people have heard a lot about how doctors who are practicing in the public system are being moving to the private sector, and that's definitely a problem. There have been studies in Alberta and Manitoba in particular that have looked at doctors who are practicing in the public system, doctors who practice in the private system, and doctors who practice in both systems. And if doctors had a choice, those who want to go in this direction, they would practice in both for public payers and private payers, because they make the most money that way. But patients whose doctors are practicing in both public and private systems are experiencing the longest wait times because the doctors are spending more time providing services to people who are paying privately, and those patients who are only paying publicly are waiting longer for them to get back and attend to them. So that's one of the problems. But the other bigger problem, as big a problem, are people who are being basically pushed out of the public hospital system. These are not physicians, but other types of providers, whether they're nurses, physiotherapists, occupational therapists. These are people who have really experienced a lot of the downsizing within the hospital system over the last 10 to 15 years, who have now gone into the private sector to provide some of these services. Physiotherapy is a good example, where it is much more difficult for people now to obtain outpatient services in the hospital system, either because they don't provide them at all, or because the types of services they're providing, the scope is narrowing in terms of what types of services you can get on an outpatient basis in the hospital system. So you've seen this movement of physiotherapists from the public system into the private sector, and they have set up their own solo practices, or they're in group practices, and that is a very, very tough road to hoe for any type of provider, because of they don't get benefits, they don't get a secure income, et cetera, et cetera. These solo practices over the last decade in particular have been bought up by large corporations like CBI Health, so forth, Lifemark. They have bought these solo practices, and now these physiotherapists who were working in the hospital system with the secure, jobs, good benefits, etc., are working for these private companies, and the job security isn't as high as it was. Their salaries are not as good. Their benefits are very low or non-existent, and so forth and so on. So their employment conditions have really significantly changed. And about 55-60% of these physiotherapists now are working in the private sector. And so that their working conditions have really changed. And access to these types of services, because physiotherapy, outpatient physio, has been delisted, access has really, really significantly declined, and wait times have really, really significantly increased. So it's a chaotic sort of situation, and the provincial government has completely failed to protect not only public access, which is very important, but also the working and conditions and so forth of these types of providers.
It's bleak, and I'm really taken by the focus we need to put on which you identified earlier, which was that the very existence of public health care is at risk with this court challenge. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming in, Colleen.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Colleen Fuller. She's an independent health researcher for the Parkland Institute, and she's also author of the book, Caring for Profit: How Corporations Are Taking Over Canada's Healthcare System.